Good morning. Am I on? Yeah. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving? Yeah. Did you do the inflation exercise this way or the paper I gave you? Anybody do the exercise in inflation and you found it beneficial or helpful in any way? Anybody? Yes, over here. Anybody else? If you haven't yet, it's not too late. You can still do it. It's a good thing to do, and it does change your focus for sure. We're going to round out the theme for this month today on Find Me Grateful with the final message of this series, Find Me Grateful. And I have to be the first to admit this message today took a different turn than I expected. Usually when I come up with the titles, 5 or 6 weeks before the actual message, I have an idea of the direction I'm going to take when I do the title. And today's message kind of did a little rabbit trail, but I really feel God is in it. So I pray that you just open your heart. In fact, right now, can you just put your hand on your heart and say, God, I open my heart to receive what you have for me. Amen. You know, his when he has something for you, it's always good. It's always good. So he has something good for you today. So I just want you to receive it. Today we're going to, last week we talked about find me grateful in every season. Today we're going to talk about find me grateful, the close and the everyday. How many of you will be brave and honest and say, I can be more thankful for my cashier than I can for my spouse? I can be more thankful for someone else's kids than I am my own kids. Sometimes it's hard to be thankful for the people who are closest to you. Midge, you can't say that today, right? You can't. It's hard sometimes to find a way to be grateful for the people who are closest to you. It just is. They are so familiar. And for whatever reason, we are the kindest to strangers. We are the kindest. And I'm glad we are. I mean, it should be that way. We don't want to be nasty to our servers. Please, if you're going out to lunch today, be kind to your server and be generous. If you can't afford a good tip, you can't afford to go out. And all the God's people said, amen, right? I had a friend in college, rabbit trail. I had a friend in college. I went to a Bible school, okay? And I had a friend who went to the same school, and she was a waitress at a very nice restaurant in town. And she said the servers there, they never wanted to work on Sundays. And their reasoning was the Christians were terrible. And they knew they were coming in from church because in those days, everybody was dressed up for church. Not today so much, but in those days, everybody was dressed up. They would come in, and they were the most demanding and the least generous with tips. God help us. I hope it's changed since then. Seriously. Be the easiest to get along with and the most generous. That's our goal. That's my goal personally. I just like to shock people with a good tip sometimes. You know, like a good tip, you know. Yeah, see? And the server said, amen. My dad used to leave a really good tip. He still does when he goes out, but he doesn't go out as much. But he would leave it in a track. Because I don't like leaving tracks on tables unless you leave a fat tip. If you leave a fat tip with a track, then it says something, right? He had more people get saved that way. They would come to the Lord through reading that little tract because he blessed them financially. So that was a big rabbit trail. But be kind to your servers, but somehow find a way to be grateful for those closest to you too. You see, it's easy to be grateful for people when you don't know their weaknesses and you don't know the irritations, you know? But if you can find a way to get grateful for people, even when you know what drives you crazy about them, that's something. So I want to start with Romans 16, 1 through 15, and I'm going to read through it fast. So if you have your Bible, open it and underline if you want, and look at it later, because this passage has always touched me, that Paul goes through a list of people closest to him, and he tells what he likes about each one. And I just think we can learn something from that. He starts out by saying, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Cenchrea, I think. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Notice what he says about each person. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many and especially to me. You see everything he said about Phoebe? That is so encouraging to me. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me. I am thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Also give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first person from the province of Asia to become a follower of Christ. Give my greetings to Mary, who has worked so hard for your benefit. Notice how he says something about each person. That just, I find that inspiring. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who were in prison with me. They are highly respected among the apostles and became followers of Christ before I did. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, a good man whom Christ approves. And give my greetings to the believers from the household of Aristobulus. I don't know. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet the Lord's people from the household of Narcissus. Give my greetings to Tryphena and Tryphosa, the Lord's workers, and to dear Persis, who has worked so hard for the Lord. Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. And then it goes on. I just love the way Paul names the person and then tells what he loves about them. And then he names the next person and says, this is what I love about them. And here's another person, and here's what I respect about them. Because you can see that he has found a way to be grateful for the people closest to him. Right? That sounds so good. But why is it so hard? Sounds good, but it's hard. And so really, I thought my message today was going to be sort of like this, try harder, try harder, try harder. Even though I know that doesn't work. That's my bend, you know, because that's the voice in my head. Try harder. Try harder to be grateful for people closest to you. Try harder, try harder. And I felt like the Lord said, no, Sandy. No, we're not going to do that this week. First point, go wide, long, high, and deep in God's love. If you find yourself struggling being grateful for people closest to you, my encouragement to you is to find a way to go higher in God's love, wider, deeper, stronger, the whole thing, longer. Find a way to tap into more of his love. Because when you get tapped into his love, it spills out on those around you. And then it's not try harder. It comes more naturally, supernaturally, natural. That's how it comes. Ephesians 3, 18 and 19, you know I've used this verse many times. You know that Dave has used this verse many times. It's one of those all-time favorites. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. When I find myself starting to get irritated easily with those people closest to me, now I stop myself and I say, whoa, slow your roll, Sandy. What are you doing here? You need to get a taste of God's love again. You need to find a way to encounter God and his great love, his great kindness, his goodness, because when you get that taste in your mouth, you see everybody differently. You see life differently. Look at, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. If you're struggling in your marriage this morning, I encourage you individually to encounter Jesus. To encounter Jesus. I'm not saying don't work on your marriage. I believe in working on your marriage, and I do believe it takes some effort. I don't think it just comes by itself. But I think if you can start from the place where you've had an encounter with Jesus, it changes the way you respond to your spouse. It changes the way you respond to your difficult child. It changes the way you respond to your next door neighbor that gets on your last nerve. It changes everything inside of you. Second point, get a new wardrobe. Woo! Who doesn't like a new wardrobe, ladies? How many of you went Black Friday shopping? Woo! Good for you. Not me. I stayed home. I am not interested. Thank you. But I'm glad. My sister went. She loves it. Every year she goes down to South Carolina. Her daughter won a $500 gift card. Cha-ching. I'm like, maybe I should have gone, but no. I don't think so. Get a new wardrobe. Get a new wardrobe. If you're struggling being grateful for people closest to you, get a new wardrobe. Colossians 3, 12 through 15 says this, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Woo! If you can forgive people in your home who live with you, you can forgive anybody. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Here's what struck me about this passage. I've heard this passage my whole life. And it's always been, you need to be more tender-hearted. You need to be kinder. You need to be more gentle. You need to be more humble. That's how I've heard it in my head. I don't know if anybody said it that way to me, but that's how I heard it. You hear me? Perception, you know. And this week when I was studying and praying and encountering Jesus, I felt like he said, no, Sandy, you get some new clothes. You go out and you get some new clothes. That's different than try harder. It's like I've been given a gift card and I get to go shopping. And I have a choice. I have a choice. Here's the thing, I cannot treat people the closest to me with tender-hearted mercy until I have encountered tender-hearted mercy. It's impossible. And this is where it really took a turn for me big time in my preparation. I felt like the Lord said, talk about the difference between religion and relationship. Because in most cases, when we're not thankful for people closest to us, it's because we've slid over into religion. Can I just be really honest with you today and tell you that I've been a believer since I was 3 years old. I'm 55, so 52 years I've been a believer. The greatest temptation in my life is not necessarily to sin. It's to be religious. It's the easiest, most subtle slide in my life. I'm not saying I'm without sin because Lord knows I'm not. I miss the mark, okay? I do. But if it's a choice between getting smashed and judging someone who's getting smashed, I'm probably going to head that direction. They're both missing the mark. The more mature you are as a believer, the more likely you are to slide into religion. So what is the difference? These are handwritten notes because God gave them to me late and they didn't even make the typed page. Religion says do more. Relationship says receive more. Religion says do more. Relationship says no, receive more. You get a new wardrobe. You get to encounter tender heart and mercy. Religion says, hide failures and weaknesses. Get some fig leaves fast. That's what religion says. Cover. Wear a mask. Pretend. Relationship says, hide nothing. Because every place that I have a failure or a weakness, I get to taste of the tender-hearted mercy of God more fully. Hide nothing. Hide nothing. Because then I get to see that God will keep loving me even at my worst. And there's nothing like love that loves through the worst. There's nothing like it. Nothing on this earth can replace love that sticks it out even when you have been a blank, fill in the blank. Nothing is like that. Religion says, see my goodness. You see, I'm hiding failures, but what am I doing in place? I'm exposing my virtues. Everything that I say makes me look really good. That's religion. Notice my goodness. See my goodness? Relationship says, see his goodness? See his goodness? He loves me when I have nothing good in me. He keeps loving. Religion notices dirt in others. Why? Because if I am busy hiding my dirt and showing my virtues, then the moment I see dirt in someone else, it makes me feel better about me. My virtue looks better. So I'm going to notice the dirt in someone else because then I can feel better about me. Relationship sees the gold in other people. They get the dirt over their shoulder as fast as possible and shine up the gold. Doesn't mean they don't see the dirt. We all see it. People who are closest to us, they know our buttons. We know their buttons. They know our buttons. We know in what situation they're going to have a hard time, and they know what situation we're going to have a hard time maintaining our salvation. They know that, we know that. Like people who are closest to us know all the gunk. I told Laura after we got back from Israel, I'm like, one of my fears of going to Israel with people from Oak River was that people would see my weaknesses glaring at them. Because when you spend 10 days with someone and you're tired all the time, two of the 10 days we were there, listen to this, we walked 71 floors. I was tired. I am older than all of them. And I felt every month of my age on those 10 days. I was getting less sleep. I was doing way more than I normally do. So I knew they were going to see some stuff. And part of me was like, okay, well, I'll let them go on this trip and I'll go on the next one when nobody goes from Oak River. And the Lord said, no, there is beauty in letting people see your weakness and them choosing to love you anyway. There's beauty in that. When you're a pastor, you get expectations thrust on you. Dave knows about this. You get, people want you to be up on a pedestal. And I'm always saying no, because then I have further to fall. I don't want to be on a pedestal. I'm a human being. Religion doesn't want that. Relationship does. They want that in relationship. If you have a hard time maintaining close connection with people after you see their weaknesses, my supposition is you have a hard time maintaining connection with God. So you hide. You pretend. You shine up your virtues and you work harder. Oh, it's bondage, people. It's the trickiest. It's such a lie, but it's so tricky because it makes you feel good. Even coming to church every week, you can go home and you can say, yeah, I was good this week. I went to church. Listen, I'm glad you're here. I am. But if that's what it's about, God help us. That is not what it's about. Last, if you want those again, really quick. Religion says do more. Relationship says receive more. Religion says hide your failures, cover it up. Relationship says hide nothing. Fully look into the eyes of mercy. Religion says, see my goodness. Relationship says, see his goodness, God's goodness. Religion says, I see dirt in you. Relationship says, I see gold in you. Those are just, I'm sure there are many more, but those are the ones that came pretty fast to me. Why do I point that out? Because I want to know if I'm slipping into religion. Because I lose, talk about joy. You're talking about singing about joy today. I lose my joy faster than anything when I step into religion. I mean, it gets sucked out like there's a giant sucking sound. Those of you who are old enough to know what that means, Ross Perot. How many of you remember that? Yeah, Ross Perot. He used to say there's going to be a giant sucking sound going south when he was talking about NAFTA. I just loved his accent. Made me feel like home. Well, when you step into religion, there is a giant sucking sound going south. Giant. It's your joy. Just whoosh, whoosh, disappears fast. Okay, last point, point three. Speak, love, and life. Speak, love, and life. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32 in the Passion Translation. I looked at several ones, and this is the one I wanted to use for this passage. And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. We are all still in the process of figuring out how to experience our full salvation. I just love that. It is a never-ending adventure to explore the goodness of God. It's never ending. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insult, but instead be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. There it is again. How do you experience this? In the depths of Christ's love. That's the only way it's possible. That's the only way. As I was studying this week and praying, I really felt like I got an understanding on something. And it's this. The way that I see God is the way I am most likely to present him to others. It just changed something for me in my thinking. You know, we are made in the image of God. That is a fact. If you're a believer, that's a fact, right? We are made in the image of God. So the way we see his image is the way we're going to portray to others. The way we see him is the way we'll present him or represent him. So now it just changed because even this morning I was watching some TV preachers, which I love. I mean, I enjoy watching that when I'm getting ready on Sunday morning. And one of them said something, and I was like, oh, that makes me sad. Because that gives me a window into your soul that that's the way you see God, that you said that about God. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? So for someone who's always talking about the end of the world and how judgment days are coming, you see that's how they perceive God. That's sad. That's really sad. So how do we fix it? Well, I can't fix other people, but how do I fix it in me? I go back to the drawing board and I go, okay, God, show me what lie I'm believing about you. Show me something better about yourself than I've ever known before. Show me, you know, I take my weakness to God and I say, I'm going to gaze into your mercy. I'm not going to avert my eyes, and it's hard. I don't want to. Have you ever looked in someone's eyes long enough that you almost felt like they could see into your soul? And it was intimidating? Like, huh, okay, right? That's what you do with God. You look into his eyes until you just get bathed in his mercy. You get bathed in his love. You get bathed in his kindness. And then you take that perspective and look at people who are closest to you. If you have a hard time forgiving other people, somewhere in the depths of your soul, you believe that God has a hard time forgiving you. So how do you fix it? I'm going to work harder to forgive them. No, I'm going to go back. I'm going to gaze into the mercy of Christ. And I'm going to say, thank you, God, that you have forgiven me. You have paid in full. When you look at me, you don't see that ugliness. You don't see it. You see me washed in the blood of Jesus. You see me clean and perfect. You see me now as I'm going to be when I stand before your throne in heaven, sanctified fully. That's how you see me right now. Find me grateful. Ooh. Find me grateful. Find me thankful. Find me on my knees. When you get a taste of the goodness and the mercy and the kindness of God, thankfulness just comes. You don't have to force it. You don't have to tell yourself to do the stuff. It just comes. It overflows. And then it spills on everybody around you. Like you make a mess in a good way. You make a thankful mess everywhere you go. This morning, I was listening to the radio, The Fish, on my way in, and I heard this guy talk about how he knew this worship leader one time that around Christmas, Thanksgiving and Christmas, every time he would come in to do rehearsal, he would sing this, "It's the most dysfunctional time of the year." I laughed in my car. I was laughing. And then I'm like, wow, there's a little bit of truth to that. You know, I shared it with Ken and Natalie in prayer this morning. I'm like, I don't want to pretend that's not true. I want to shine some light on it and say, what can we do about it? Yeah. Here's what we can do about it. Encounter Jesus. Amen. Encounter Jesus. That's what we can do about it. Because listen, you have your dysfunction. I have my dysfunction. We all have dysfunction. On some level, even the perfect families that already have all of their Christmas decorations up, all the lights, like, I love it. I don't have one thing done yet. Not one, not the first light, not anything. And I'm not mad about it at all. Everybody has stuff. Everybody. You see the picture on Facebook and you go, "Oh," but you don't know what kind of fights led to the picture. I know. Well, you posted, Megan. I laughed so hard because I used to get so mad at my kids. They'd be like, we're going to help when they were little. And they would put the ornament in the wrong place. And at first, I was like, no, 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 no. It doesn't go there. It goes here. And then they would put on homemade ornaments on the non-homemade tree. Because we had a homemade tree and we had a non-homemade tree that was beautiful. Right? I'm like, no, the homemade ornaments go out there on the other tree. And then I got better in years to come. I would wait until I would let them decorate. I would go, oh, that's beautiful. That is so nice. And they would go to bed and I would change everything. Finally, I wised up by the end and I was able to let it be and celebrate it. It still made my eye twitch sometimes. Not gonna lie. I want us to tap into joy and gratitude during this most dysfunctional time of the year. I really do. Sometimes all you can do is laugh at the dysfunction. Go, yeah, I see you. Ha, ha, ha. You know, that's the best you can do. God, I thank you for these beautiful people. I love your people so much, and I'm thankful for their transparency. Oh, I'm so grateful for each one of them and the uniqueness they bring to your kingdom. Wow. I'm thankful for joy and laughter and honesty. And I'm thankful that you crave an encounter with us even more than we crave an encounter with you. And so I just pray that you would give us little glimpses, little moments to hear your whisper during this season, like Heather talked about, like we sang about, just that you would alert us to moments that we could hear your whisper and that we could say the name of Jesus and see something change from the name of Jesus. So I pray that you would go with us this week as we enter in fully to this season. Just keep us alert to your presence, God. And help us to see those closest to us after we encounter you. After we encounter you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. You guys are so fun to preach to. Can I just say that? I love the way you react and interact with me. I'm so thankful that you're not just a bunch of old stodges, like quiet. I really am thankful for that. It's fun to preach to you. So thank you for that.